your Bible. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. God is so good. I hate coughing. I was coughing in this thing when it was hot during praise and worship. I'm sorry. I was messing everything up. I didn't realize it was hot when I was coughing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, I'm going to leave it right there, stop it right there. Having done all to stand. Let's put your hands this way. God, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all you've done for us, Lord, all you do for us, God. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the musicians. I thank you, God, for those that have come. I thank you for those that are working behind the scenes. All of it, God, I thank you for it all. Bless us, Lord, and let us understand what's going on in our lives, especially right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell them. I dare you. Tell them. God is so good. Now this is I'm going to start with the world's shortest fairy tale. I revised it some now. The world's shortest fairy tale. Y'all ready to hear it? Once upon a time, a guy asked a girl, "Will you marry me?" The girl said no. And the guy lived happily ever after. Went fishing and hunting and golfing and stuff a whole lot. I revised that. And the girl said no. And they both lived happily ever after. I had to revise it because I didn't want anything thrown at me up here. Now, I want you to pay careful attention today. You know, I didn't know I was getting a frog in my throat. I didn't know all this was coming down. But I do know that I actually was going to make this a lot longer. And I really felt the Lord tell me, kiss it. Keep it short, saint. So I was trying to keep it short. Please pray. We've got a lot of people hurting. A lot of people are sick. And we also have a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of things. And it's really, 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 really tough. And we need to just be praying for one another. And not just for your own family, but for your church family. And not even just for your church family, but pray for those around in the community. Because there's a lot. Spiritual warfare is very heavy. Remember I told you when I started preaching this, be careful. Because your spiritual warfare is going to increase. The more you hear, the more it's going to increase. But at the end, you'll see how you can handle this better and how things are going to work out better in the end. So again, spiritual warfare, our adversary. And this is part one of a two-parter. And here's one of our things, occupy till I come. And again, I don't want to wear this out, but that does not mean to take up space. But it does mean to take a stance. It means to be productive. And it means to take back lost ground. Or lost property. So we have to be careful as we see what's going on around us, because I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of people that should be in God's house no longer in God's house. I've seen a lot of people that should be worshiping God and thanking him for his goodness, and instead you see them doing things that you know good and well God's not happy with, and their lives are in shambles. And so it's very important that we take back ground. When all the guys go to Pitt Detention Center on Thursday nights, they're taking back ground. They're taking a stance and taking back ground. When I go to Sharp on Monday, I'm taking a stance and taking back ground. When I go to Beaufort, I'm taking a stance. I'm taking back ground. When you talk to your children, and even when it's hard, you talk to your children or you talk to your family members and you try to help them. You know, sometimes it's very hard. This morning I talked to my dad about his salvation again, you know, because he's been having all these problems. And, of course, you know, he's going to play it off, and that's good if he's going to play it off. But at least he listened. I mean, it's not good. I'd rather him not say that, but at least it's good that he listened. And so, again, I'm taking back what has been lost, taking back ground, taking back property. So, one more, and then we're going to write straight into it. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. This means war. We got war going on now. It's a terrible war of eternal proportions. We can reject it, which a lot of people do. We can rename it, which is what the government does. Amen. Even some churches. We can resist it, or we can recognize it, and we can refuse to do nothing. I refuse to do nothing. Look at somebody and say, I refuse to do nothing. Tell somebody that. All right, get ready. Here we go. Y'all ready to dive in? We just read in Ephesians chapter 6. Recognize first the opponent. The opponent's come to deceive, to divide, to destroy, to dominate. If he can deceive you and deceive your family, deceive you on your job, deceive you with your kids, or deceive your kids, then he can divide y'all, divide us. And if he can divide us, he can destroy us. And if he can destroy us, he can dominate us. So we can't let him do it. So here's what we just read. Look, I love this. Nothing ahead of you is bigger or stronger than the power of God behind you. One more time. Nothing ahead of you is bigger or stronger than the power of God behind you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mighty, mighty might. Amen. So here's the warning. Get ready. Be strong in the Lord. Be. That means now. Don't wait till Monday. Don't wait till you get older. A lot of times I hear people say, well, I'll just wait until I'm getting close to time to die, and then I'll start serving God. Or I'll just wait till things get a little better around the house, and then I'll start serving God. Or I'll wait till I get the right kind of job, and then I'll start worshiping God. No, now. Somebody say now. Now. Say it again. Now. Now. Okay, so be strong in the Lord. That word strong means to be infused with inner ability. It's the same word that they even use for IVs in the medical field. Be strong in the Lord. It's also a welding term, which means to put two metals together and infuse it with another metal. And that, now you got something really, really strong that won't break. And so be strong in the Lord. That's the one place. Be strong in the Lord and in his overwhelming, irresistible power. Be a strong arm. Absolutely. Ooh. Oh, wow. There, here we go. We got louder that time. So sin, all these words here are all putting together, and they are used to absolutely put together the word sin. So here we are, redemption. We talked about the devil. We talked about some of the possession. Hey, so redemption. This now, we're flipping the script on Satan. We talked about how he tried to deceive us, what he uses in his names. It tells us what he uses to bring us down, to strip us bare, and to hurt us in order to hurt God. Redemption. We live in a time where, honestly, a lot of people don't even understand redemption. You know, in school, you can't even talk about it. There's even places that you can't speak about it, because if you start talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, they may even ask you to leave. You can't talk about it on some people. I had a guy tell me that he, in Emmaus, a guy told me months ago, he said, I got a promotion, and it was a good promotion, got a big old raise, and I was overseeing a bunch of more people. And he said, within about a week, I got wrote up. Never have I been wrote up before, ever. And I said, what'd you get written up for? He said, because I mentioned Jesus. Big company. I mentioned Jesus and how he handled people. And I got wrote up and said, if you mention his name again. Wow. Can you imagine? So our redemption is so powerful that the world don't want to hear it because it causes a change in their life. Our redemption first, it provides restoration. You know, how many's ever seen an old car that somebody took and they restored it? They repainted it, they put new metal in it, they put all new parts in it. And like a 65 Mustang, you get a 65 Mustang in a junkyard, it may be worth a couple of thousand in that junkyard, but when they get through with it, restoring it, it could be worth $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000. The value of it goes up because it's been restored. Well, and even better than new. The same way, this world we're working in, this world we're walking in, there's a lot of hurting people. They've been ripped apart. They've been torn apart. We see them all the time. They're, you know, don't have to go to the detention center to see them. All you got to do is go to work. There's a lot of spiritual cripples walking around. These spiritual cripples, many of them don't even realize that their problem is spiritual because God has been hidden. God's word has been pushed aside. Or God has been included with everybody else, and so he just, you know, he's one of the many, many gods that everybody can look at. And so what happens is you can tell somebody's a spiritual cripple because, number one, they have a loss of joy. Loss of joy. And number two, they have a loss of purpose. So if you find somebody with a loss of joy and a loss of purpose, and you find somebody that's actually aimlessly following the crowd, and that's what we got going on nowadays. No, there's a lot of spiritual cripples out there. So, when God gets a hold of you, first thing he does is he gives you rest. Because before you get restoration, you just run back and forth trying to find peace, trying to find hope. And so people go to anything and anybody, any charismatic person. That's why the Jim Joneses rose up like they rose, is because of David Koresh, is because people are looking and they see hope. And so they go for these people. But the problem is they still don't find rest. That's why guys are taking drugs, why guys get caught up in alcohol. You know, I talked to a guy one time, and he told me, he said, you know what? The reason I became an alcoholic, I said, why did you become an alcoholic? He said, because when I was overseas, I killed so many people. And he says, I can't get that out of my mind. And he says, I'm scared that when I die, what am I going to say when I meet him in heaven? And so we had a long, 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 long talk about that. Couldn't find any rest. And so as we started talking about redemption and forgiveness and how God can save you, he began to find some rest. And then refreshment. Man, oh man. There's nothing like a good old ice cream sandwich when you're about to fall out. You know, this week I've worked on three different ACs, and it was so hot. Man, it was so hot. I come home. The first thing I did was kiss my wife, of course, give her a hug. She said, you stink. Get off of me. No, she didn't. She did say, you're kind of kicking up a little bit. I said, well, that's because I've been outside. She said, no, but she didn't say you stink. All right. First thing I did was kiss my wife. And then, of course, I had to pet the cats and the dog. But then I went and got me an ice cream sandwich because there's nothing like being refreshed when you're really, really, really hot, when things are going kind of tough. So you can tell when somebody's been refreshed, because here's how you can tell when somebody's been refreshed. This is what revival's about. Refresh number one is their joy is restored. Number one, joy is restored. Number two, their purpose is restored. Number three, to quit walking aimlessly. So Our redemption provides restoration, rest, and refreshment. Now, we're going to dig in deep. I'm telling you, this is going to be about as deep as I can ever think of in redemption over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to take the words like I did with Satan, that God uses in his word for Satan. I'm going to do the same thing with the words he uses for redemption. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious and honored in my sight because I love you. Isaiah, look at this. God is so awesome to us. There's four words in the New Testament used to describe redemption. Four. Somebody say four. There's four. Each one of these words helps us better understand God. It helps us understand the nature of the warfare. And helps us understand just what redemption is all about. Sometimes we get, because getting saved, listen to me, getting saved is simple. God, forgive me for my sin. That's simple. God, forgive me for my sin. I believe you died and rose again to provide healing from my spiritual condition, from my sin. You said if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you died and rose again, and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, that I will be saved. I'm doing that, God. So getting saved is the easy part. But if we could only understand what's going on behind the scenes. You know, have you ever watched, Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon. I don't know who these guys are now because I don't watch it anymore because my boys aren't home. But they made it look so easy. But if you could see what behind the scenes that all week long between races, Mr. Fountain, he was breaking world records. But if anybody could see behind the scenes, when they come back from a race, he had a whole team. That the first thing they would do is take the boat and they would inspect it to make sure nothing was wrong with the boat. And then the next thing he would do was rebuild the engine. Rebuild it. From one race to the next, rebuild it. After he rebuilt it, then he did the test on it. After he did the static test on it, then he took it out in the water and they tried it. And if it didn't do better than the last time, he brought it back and they still worked with it again. He would not accept as good as last time. It had to be better. And that's why he won so many championships. And one time was the fastest man on the water, 176 miles an hour. The fastest man on the water at that time. I've seen him now go 230-something, so, you know, but that was then, back in the day. Tony Stewart looked so easy. Jeff Gordon looked so easy. Jimmy Johnson looked so easy. But when those guys, when they pulled into that pit, those guys had to know what they were doing. They had to quickly change those tires, had to put the gas in. They had to clean the windows, check stuff, adjust the car in a matter of seconds, and then they're back out there. So they made it look easy because they were driving. But unless you got a chance to see all the way behind the scenes and all week how they watched the other drivers and they knew the other drivers how they were going to do, so they knew how to handle these other drivers. All we see is on Sunday is the race and say, man, he makes it look so easy. Same way with salvation. When I get up here and say, all you got to say is, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and that's all you got to do. Honestly, that's it. God, I'm a sinner. The Holy Ghost is convicting me. God, I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me my sin. I believe you died and rose again at the Father's right hand. That is so simple. But if you could look in the background, man, oh man, what a sight to behold. Let's talk about some of these. Number one, God desires to reveal to us that his capacity to forgive is bigger than our capacity to sin. Wow. Y'all can say wow now. God desires to reveal to us that his capacity to forgive is bigger than our capacity to sin. So that means there's nothing you've done that God won't forgive you for. Y'all say nothing. Nothing. I can see Sergeant Schultz now. I see nothing. I know nothing that God can't forgive. So let's talk about Satan's slave market. Here's one of the words. I'm going to get ready to show you where the words are at. So, and I don't normally just put up the Greek, but I just thought I would today because it kind of gives it, just gives it some flair, I suppose. Agorizo. Agorizo is one of the words God uses for redemption. That word means the marketplace. It actually means slave market. It means to be bought in the marketplace. Now, back in the day when the Bible was written, all colors of people were slaves. If you got took over by an army, a lot of people became slaves, the captives. So there was all kinds of people that were being held captive as slaves. Now get ready, because I'm going to tell you, I hope that it doesn't make you aggravated or sick at your stomach. Back in the day, and even on up to back when we had slaves in the United States, but this is slaves back in God's day, or back in the New Testament. We're talking about New Testament slaves, but the stuff kept on going on all the way up, and even though there was African slaves, there was other countries that had slaves too. And so, anyway, about it, you got someone on the slave block, they were purchased right off the auction block. They would take people on the auction block, and they would put them on the auction block, and they would strip them down, and you had to look at the person you were purchasing. Some very crazy things happened back in the biblical days, and it kept on all the way through the biblical days. What they would do is first they would strip you down, and you'd walk across the little auction block, and they would look at you. And then if people were deciding they wanted to put a bid on you, they would take you by the head. Whoever's going to bid, they come up and look at them, they grab you by the head, and they'd yank it back, and they stick their hand in your mouth, and they would yank your mouth open to see how your teeth were, to check them, to see. Because if you had bad teeth, you got a low price because you were going to be sick. If you had good teeth, you got a big price. So after they looked at your teeth, then the same people would slap the slave up for sale. They would slap them. They would punch them. They would kick them. Not like a tire on a car either. They would do all this stuff. You know why they did that? First, they checked your mouth, checked your teeth, and then checked your body to make sure there was nothing, no kind of disease. They would check your teeth. Then they would beat you, slap you in the face, punch you to check your temperament. And if you had a bad temperament and you wanted to fight, they didn't need you. So this is going on in the slave block before anybody ever purchases. Matter of fact, these guys felt no personal worth. There's people walking the streets of Edward. There's people in your family. There's people in my family that have no idea that they're walking around on a slave block. They have no idea. They're going, I can't stand why I'm being punched. Why I feel like I'm being kicked all the time. I feel like, oh, I'm being grabbed and I'm being, I don't understand this. And they don't understand that Satan's got you on his auction block. Sells you to alcohol, to drugs, all kinds of terrible things. And when that's not good enough, he puts you back up on the block and it starts all over again. But the Bible said, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he went to that auction block that we were on, that we were powerless to do anything about. because of no self-worth. And he paid the full price that we might be free from the penalty of sin. Before Jesus came to this world, the world was being controlled by what the Bible calls the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He had the ultimate control. In the garden, I need a volunteer. Give me a guy volunteer quickly. Just a guy. I ain't going to tell you what I need you for yet. I need a guy volunteer. Come on up here. I'm not going to grab his mouth. He said, shake his teeth. I'm Adam, and there's Satan. In the garden, Adam had the keys. And when he took of that forbidden fruit, he gave the keys. Sit on it, on end, but just sit down there. And so for 4,000 years, he had the keys. And he was tearing people all to pieces. They were always scared of what was going to happen. What was going to happen next. And they said they were scared of Satan because he had the power of death. And all kinds of stuff was going on because he had the keys. But when Jesus went on that cross and cried, "It is finished, get ready. I got to find another guy, another volunteer. Or be voluntold. Come here, voluntold." The Bible said, I could get a third person, but that would really be bad because they ain't going to like what I would do. When Jesus died on the cross, the thief said, "Today," or he said, "Father, forgive me." Remember when you come into your kingdom. And he said, "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." When Christ cried, "It is finished," can you imagine what it looked like in hell? Down the corridors of hell, the place started shaking. As the place started shaking, you could hear the footprints coming down the footsteps. And when he got to the devil, he kicked open the gates. And he walked over to him with the thief. "Look, here's the thief that nobody thought was going to be worth a thing. He was worthless. He had no self-worth. And here's Jesus holding him in his hand." And he reaches over to the devil and says, "Give him here. I want him back. I want him back. You can go sit down now. You're doing good. I want the keys." Matter of fact, there was an old thing we used to say in the Church of God back in the day. The Bible says the devil walketh about, and the Bible says in 1 Peter, the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I used to preach this all the time. You know why the devil's walking around? Why he's walking about? Because Jesus took his keys. Through Adam's disobedience, those keys were lost. But through God's Son's obedience, the penalty was paid, and he got those keys back. Amen? So, first, a garizo. Now, let me just show you some of these so you won't think that I'm just making this stuff up. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Satan's slave market, okay? Again, a garizo. All right, ready? It also means to rescue from loss. Romans 7:14, get ready. We're getting ready to do some stuff here. Romans 7:14 says that we're sold unto sin. That word sold means a transfer of property. You were initially God's property. And sin in this world, every man was born into a sinful position. And God's property, the property was transferred to Satan. As a picture of Satan's ownership before salvation. That's why people walk around hopeless. That's why people walk around tore all to pieces. That's why people are aimless, is because they are not their own. Romans 16. Here's these words. I go rizzo again. The Bible says in Romans 6:17-20 that we are servants to God. That word servant means one whose will is completely swallowed up in the will of another. So first we were servants unto sin, but now we're servants under God. So look, now think about this. You don't own yourself, Satan has your transfer of property. You are swallowed up in his will. But 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 says we're bought with a price. Jesus came to us and he saw us on the auction block, going from one owner to another, from one owner to another, from one thing to another, trying to find relief, one thing to another. Somebody says, I'm not a slave to anything. I'm just trying to find some help. I'm trying to find something to calm me down. I'm trying to find something to help me make it through this night. And all I understand is you're going on an auction block, you're going from one owner to the next, one owner to the next. They're trying to take you down. But as soon as Jesus died on that cross, Satan's legal authority was taken away if you just stand on what Christ done. Revelation 5 and 9, the Bible says the elders are looking at Jesus and it says he is slain and he has redeemed us. That word redeemed is the exact same word, agorizo. He went down to the slave market and he was the highest bidder. He bid for us. Aren't you happy that Jesus Christ is the highest bidder? Glory! I'd shout more, but I'm scared I'm going to lose it, so I'm going to keep on without losing this voice. So first, slave market. I love this. Grace means that all of your mistakes now serve a purpose instead of serving shame. Wow. Do you know the majority of the leaders in a rehab were addicts themselves? You know that? Grace means that all your mistakes, all your sin, everything behind you now serves a purpose instead of serving shame. So watch, here we go. Purchased out of slavery. Here's the second word, and we're going to stop on this word today. Exagorizo. Exagorizo. It means to take off the market. We got a little saying we say when somebody says one of our friends, one of our guys, he's hooked up with a girl and or even a girl, she's hooked up with a guy, and now they're really starting to make it strong, in a strong relationship, and they'll just go, wait, and somebody starts looking at him or her and they go, wait a minute, he's off the market. When Satan looks at you and says, I'm going to take you down, you might not hear this, but Jesus says, no, I took him off the market. He's not yours. He said that little simple prayer, but let me tell you something. Again, all we said was that simple prayer. Didn't realize that we were on the slave block. Didn't realize that all this stuff we were chasing was actually we were being sold. We didn't realize that when it was going on. And now he takes you off that market. He says, I've paid that price. And they're no longer up for sale. Look at somebody and say, I'm no longer up for sale. Say it. I'm no longer up for sale. One more time. I'm no longer up for sale. Give the Lord a hand clap. I'm not up for sale. He bought us. And he intends to keep us. Amen. Amen. I told my wife one day, I was just cutting up with her, and she said something about, she thought about sometimes, and it wasn't about me and her, it was about what was going on. She just said, she's going to pack up and go. And I said, well, if you decide you're going anywhere, you better pack my bag, I'm going with you. Hey, I done got it. I got it figured out. You know what? He bought us, and he intends to keep us. Getting close to the end. Purchased out of slavery. Here's some more words. Or more scripture. Ready? Galatians 3:13. He said we were redeemed from the curse. That actually means that we are taken off the block, never to be put back on the block again. Isn't that a comfort to know that I don't have to go back up on that block? In the SHARP program, over the years, There's been some strong success stories. Strong. You've seen them come in here. Strong, strong, strong success stories. And there's been other guys that have been in that program over the past 7 years. They've been in the program 3-4 times. I think I saw one guy that had been in there 5 times. Didn't realize, you're off the block, man. You ain't got to do it. You do not have to do this. You're off the block. God's got you. You don't have to go back. That word means to be removed. I'm removed off the slave block. You're removed off the slave block. I no longer have to hear, who's got the biggest price for this guy? Nope, nope, nope. Jesus already took care of that. Galatians 4:4-5. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son to redeem them. An adoption of sons, again, that is exagorizo, which means when he came down to earth, his whole purpose was to take us off of the auction block. He paid the price. Now see again, when you think about redemption, and us saying that simple sinner's prayer, which is sufficient and it works, and it's been that way over thousands of years, when you think about your real condition before you said that. And I've had people say, well, you know, the SHARP program is just full of street thugs. No, there was PhDs, people with master's degrees. Don brought me the letter just a week or so ago where the PhD is now going for another PhD. And he wrote me a letter, and it was really long, and it was really awesome. But he told me, he said he felt like that he had actually been to church when he went to SHARP program. He had been to church, and God changed his life. And he said, I will always, always, always thank God that God came. He didn't put these words on that paper, but that God came to me wearing a badge. It's not cheap. What he did was not cheap, but it was complete. And here, we're getting ready to close. Forgiveness creates the space for people's relationships and opportunities to be restored, opening the door to a better future. I'm ashamed of this, and I'm only going to say it because, you know, I do it when I'm in B5, and they go, oh, you're Mr. Goody Two Shoes. You've never experienced any of this. And I go, oh, no, 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 no. One of the worst nights of my life before D.C. was ever born. Matter of fact, his mama weren't even pregnant at the time. We'd been out partying, and she became a drag. My buddy said, we got more stuff we can do if you can drop that dead weight. And I went home, not proud of this at all, but I went home at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Told her to get out. I'm going to party some more. And she said, I'm not getting out. I said, yes, you are. And I pushed her. I mean, I didn't hurt her, but I just nudged her, get out the car. She says, are you really going to do this? I said, I'm really going to do this. And she stood outside the car and watched me as I backed up and left. I didn't know if she had a key. None of that. Because I wanted to go party. So I was on the slave block. And it was time for the next bidder. And I was listening to the bidder, was not listening to life, I wasn't listening to God, wasn't listening to my wife, and I went to the next bidder, kicked her out of the car. Not long after that, God started working on my heart. Didn't stop me yet, but then her getting pregnant with DC, that's what stopped me. And my wife said, you better be glad that God saved you, because you were getting ready to have an imprint. Some of these frying pans are called Lodge. Those metal pans are called Lodge. She said you were getting ready to wear a Lodge right across your forehead. And she was feisty. And she said, I wouldn't stop with the front head. I would finish it off on the back of your head. She said, if you hurt my pot or if you hurt my pan, I will hit you somewhere else. She says, you better be glad God saved you. And I said, I am. Thank God. I really was happy that God had saved me. And then a few weeks later, I'm walking in the house late at night. You know how the mobile homes, especially those older ones, sometimes the vent for the AC kind of comes up off the floor a little bit. I come through and I kick that thing. Beverly's over in another room, and I kicked it, and I cut a hole in the ball of my foot. I hit that thing, and I went, glory! And I held up my foot, and blood was going everywhere. And Beverly said, what happened? I said, I just tore my foot up. She says, no, you didn't. I said, why? She said, because you didn't cuss. You didn't beat something in the wall. You didn't throw anything down. I said, let me get to you, and I'll show you. And I walked to her, and I held up my foot, and she said, you are saved! Too many have been conditioned. Listen carefully, because this may be you today. Too many have been conditioned mentally. They've been conditioned emotionally that they have no hope. They see it on the television. They hear it on the news. They see it all around them. They watch the violence and watch the increase in crime, and they watch all this stuff going on around us mentally and emotionally. Every time you turn on, no matter who you watch, you can watch any news station you want to watch, and you can watch it for 15 minutes, and you're being conditioned mentally and emotionally. There's no hope. And there's so many people in this world blind to the spiritual reality of this situation. They don't realize John, 1 John 3:8 said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy means it's an act of untying, unloosing, to set people free. But if you don't think you're tied up, if you don't think you got a problem, then it becomes a problem. John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not, we talked about it last week, but to steal and kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If we don't realize the spiritual reality of what's going on around us, not Democrats, not Republicans, not independents, not Russia, not China, not the United, I mean, ultimately, there's spiritual warfare taking place all over this world. And it's sad that so many are blinded to the reality that so many people are on Satan's auction block, and they've thrown their kids up on that auction block, and they've thrown their marriage up on that auction block, and they've thrown their job up on that auction block, and they don't realize this stuff I just told you about salvation. This is Satan's lie. John 10:10 tells us there's a better way. DC had no idea what I was preaching today. None. He just said, Daddy, what are you preaching? What are you preaching today, Daddy? Because I'll try to look it up with you. Nope. Not a word. He had no idea. Waymaker. Chain breaker. Wow. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to ask him to come up. I'm going to ask Brandon to come up. I'm not going to play, but I want them to come up. And I want them to play Chainbreaker again, or Waymaker, whatever it's called. Waymaker, haymaker, chain breaker. It's a good one. I want to play it soft to start with. I want everybody else to stand up. A big boy right there. He had a lot of collard biscuits in his day. Our goal is not to fight for deliverance. Listen carefully. Our goal is not to fight for deliverance. Our goal should be to accept what Jesus has already done for us and then stand in it. I'm not going up back up on that auction block. I don't want to be on it. I don't have anything to do with it. That auction block is terrible. Just remember, there's people in your family right now. They're being whooped. They're being beat. They're being kicked on that auction block. And they're selling themselves to whatever. But you have the key. That simple plan of salvation. ABCs, accept, believe, and confess. Accept, we need him. Believe, he died for us. C, confess, I need you, God. Is there anybody perfect in here? Nope, not one, not one, not one. You want to know the truth about it? Nobody in here is even close to being perfect. Because if we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. Just remember, the next time Satan's trying to drag you back and to get you to turn away from God, it's more than just backsliding. Think about it. It's more than just backsliding. It's climbing back up on that auction block. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for all he teaches us and all he shows us. I want everybody, first off, I'm going to pray, and then we're all going to put our hands up and sing. Ready? If you're here today, put your head, bow your heads and close your eyes. Don't look around you. If you're here today, and be bold about this, be if you're here today and you feel the whip and the snap and the pressure and the stripping of the auction block, and you're tired of it, nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, I can feel it and I'm tired of it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you've had to fight lately to keep from just letting go because the world's gone crazy. Not realizing when you let go, you're climbing back up on that block. And you're needing God to do something special for you today. Would you just, nobody look around, just put that hand up. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. We're going to sing a little bit, then I'm going to pray for everybody. Just remember, you don't have to fight for deliverance. The fight's already been taking place. It already took place. The battle has already been won. You just have to crawl up under the altar and trust him. Let it go, son. Let it rip. Sing it, people, sing it.
You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise. the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Come on! Oh, Waymaker. Sing it! Go ahead, this is spiritual warfare. Sing it! That is who you are. Come on! You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, yes! Who you are. Glory! Sing it! That is who you are. That is who you are. Get ready to be getting it right here. Right here. Watch this. You can sing it loudly when it gets to it. When I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Come on! Glory! Even when I don't see it. Oh yes, glory! Feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see. Oh, come on, yes! You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see. Oh, come on! Let me hear your war cry. Come on! You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Glory! Come on! Let me hear some war cries in here. Come on! Glory! 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 Get it again, D.C. Here you go. One more time. We're going to do it one more time. I can feel it. I don't know about you, but I can feel it. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker. Oh, come on! Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for the answers. For the answers, in the name of Jesus. Yes. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Glory! Glory! Come on, a war cry again. Glory! God is awesome. It's not what I did, it's what he did. Amen. I ain't going back up on that block. Somebody say that. I ain't going back up on that block. Oh, come on, one more time. Even when you don't think he's doing it. Come on. One more time. We got to let it rip one more time. Even when. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Glory! Everybody bow your heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you took us off that auction block. We thank you, God, that we don't have to walk alone anymore. We don't have to feel the whips. We don't have to feel the kicks. We don't have to feel them as they're trying to auction us off to the highest bidder, because you've already done it for us. We belong to you. And I ask you right now, Lord, to bless everybody in this place today, Lord. Everybody raise their hand for whatever they raised it for. Bless them. Let them feel a fresh anointing. Let them feel a fresh focus. Let them feel a fresh approval of you, God. Let them know that you got them, Lord. We thank you for it. Give them more joy. Give them purpose. Help them not to walk aimlessly. We thank you, God. One more time. Thank you. Thank you, church. That was awesome, yes. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. I'll just say the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into